And there was a firefight!
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode number 25. Woo. I'm Tim.
My name is Lou.
And this is Leander.
I'm Sarah. Hi. And I'm Elena.
And welcome, everybody, to another fun episode. Everybody asked us if we were on hiatus, if we had stopped doing it. We hadn't put anything up for like a month as far as a regular episode.
People were sad.
They got really concerned.
Yeah, they're sending us letters in our P.O. box.
In our P.O. box.
Inside joke.
One day we'll have a P.O. box.
One day.
Goals.
That's up there.
Yeah. The P.O. box is important.
It is. Yeah. So we happen to be just cool enough for Elena to stay around and hang out with us.
Yeah.
What? This is a whole new week. What are you talking about?
I mean, yeah, this is next week.
Surely they don't record multiple things at once.
Back in the studio.
And this time she brought her friend Sarah.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, I figured, you know, you guys talked about Riot with me, so I may as well join in for the podcast.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yes, and if you didn't listen to the interview, Elena is the colorist for Archie, and stop this and go listen to the interview, and you'll understand why Rat needs to get back together. So true. So what's up, Lou? I'm going to start with you. What's new and exciting with you?
I want to talk about current events.
Oh, geez, here we go.
Oh, boy.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Sorry. So have you heard about this, the kid who got arrested for making a clock?
No.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, okay. So, I, like everyone else, get all my news from my Facebook feed and nowhere else.
Sure.
That's the best place.
So, the story is that a kid of, you know, Middle Eastern descent of some type built a clock, and he took it. He's 14 years old. He took it in the school, and he gets arrested. And this is in Texas, so an officer arrests him, and all I see in my Facebook feed is like they're making an example of this kid because he's a Muslim. You know, he just built a clock, and you know they're racist. They're making an example of him. This and that and the other thing. So as with any good, you know, consumer of news in my Facebook feed, I didn't question this. I was like, those damn Texas racists, you know, at it again. You know, typical police brutality type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ali told me that she Google imaged the picture of the clock. And oh, before I even get to that, so every place in the world is like, oh, we feel sorry for this kid. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is like, stop by the office, we'll hang out. Microsoft's sending them free computers. MIT is like, we want people like you.
Uh-huh.
You get a free ride to MIT because you have, you know, you're the type of person we should be, you know, supporting and not arresting. And I was like, oh, that's good. All these companies are stepping up.
This can't end well. That's all I'm going to say. But continue.
Well, but this is as far as most people know. Most people just know the story of they arrested this kid for making a clock. He's an innovator, and these racist Texan cops just arrest him.
Okay.
So Google image a clock. It looks like a motherfucking bomb. Like, it's a straight up digital display in a briefcase. Like, go watch Speed 1 and look at the bomb that was on that bus, and that's what this thing looks like.
Okay.
And he wasn't arrested for bringing a bomb to school. He was arrested under suspect of bringing a hoax bomb to school, like the equivalent of basically pulling the fire alarm. So that took a, like, actually reading a couple more articles. So I think my point is that you have to be careful what you read on Facebook. You know, you can't get all of your opinions from just one source. You got to look into things sometimes, you know, otherwise you might demonize people for something they don't deserve. Look, there's a lot of racist cops out there, but, you know, every situation has to be taken individually, and sometimes it's worth Google imaging a clock that looks like a bomb.
That was deep.
Yeah, that was rough, man. Why did we start with that?
Ooh, I can't even continue now.
All downhill from here.
It's all downhill from here.
Man.
I just wanted to talk about it. I was thinking about it.
Right.
I was in the shower. I'm like, that clock really looked like a bomb. You got a lot of free stuff out of it, you know.
Now, is that a product of the friends that you carry on Facebook, or is it a product of? Because I actually don't get that stuff on my feed. I don't have friends who like freak like that, get deep into that sort of stuff. You know?
I think at least part of my Facebook friend group, like, probably a lot of liberal people, you know, and probably some of that spills over into the, like, social justice warrior. Which can be a mixed bag, because as people, social justice, obviously a good thing.
Yes.
But people can take it too far and demonize people even suspected of being, you know, anti-whatever, even when they may not be. But, so my Facebook feed, I do get a lot of political commentary that might not be unbiased. You know, can go both ways. So, that's how I feel about it.
That's why I never go on my Facebook.
Okay.
I just harass Billy Zane on Twitter.
Yeah. I now get emails from Billy Zane's Twitter activity
You're welcome.
You're going on.
Billy Zane, who's that again?
Billy Zane's an actor. He was in Demon Knight. He was in Titanic. He was the Phantom.
Okay.
Yeah. Billy Zane is awesome.
Nice.
And basically, J-Rod from the Superliminal Films podcast, this should be up by the time we put this up. He had went to a car show, and he was like, did you ever see a car that you're like... Because their podcast is about remaking movies with $1 million budget. And it's just like, you know, their opinions on how to make movies, because they...
If they had $1 million. Not that they have $1 million.
Yeah, they just got $1 million laying around. They make movies all the time.
They're imagining they had $1 million. One day.
Do make their own films. Yes,
they do.
Check them out.
They're on YouTube.
Superliminalfilms.com.
Yes, just not with $1 million.
Right.
True. Okay. Point taken.
So he saw this old car, and he's like, did you ever see a car that made you want to do a movie? And I was like, what are you going to remake Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? And they're like, man, we should remake Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I'm like, yeah, and Billy Zane should be in it. And I tagged him in the tweet. And then Billy Zane got back to them, and they're like, I should do that. And he's like, I just put my daughter to sleep by saying Hushabye Mountain from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. She loved it. And I'm like, I am affecting Billy Zane's life. I don't feel completely comfortable with this.
You've made it, Tim. You've made it.
I made it when I affect Billy Zane's life.
Yes. Some people want to cure hunger.
Billy
Zane.
I just want attention on Twitter.
I just want Billy Zane to know. That's all. It's because I like Demon Knight. That was fun. Yeah. So yes.
Have you ever Twittered someone and got some famous feedback, Elena?
Not that I can think of, because I don't really go on Twitter that often. I think the biggest would be like, if I repost something that I've worked on in coloring, like Archie Comics might favorite the tweet. That's probably about it. Like I said, I don't go on Twitter a whole lot. I probably should go on more than I do. But I guess I'm just like kind of out of the loop with a lot of social media. I mean, I go on Facebook, but I'm not even on there that often either. I might go like on like once or twice, like, you know, every other day, but kind of like,
I think it's hard, like, if you're a busy person, like if you have a lot of work to do, it's kind of hard to keep up the social media aspect of, you know, you have to do the thing and then you have to social media about the thing as much as you do the thing, and that's
a lot of work.
Tough to do.
I couldn't do it all the time.
Yeah, like I actually used to run a blog, but that was too much, so then I closed it. I was like, I can't do this.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
a lot of work.
I can't blog about work.
I gotta do the work. It's like playing Sims. I couldn't play Sims after a long time. Like, I had to pee, but my Sim had to pee first, so I let the pee. I let the Sim pee, and then I can go pee.
I gotta live life all day, and now I gotta live life in the Sims.
Right.
I don't have time for two lives. Yeah.
I don't even have kids.
Second life. Work on your first life, guys.
Oh, that's great.
That always, the Sims, boggled my mind.
Yeah, it was fun for while it lasted.
Yeah. I never played it. I would watch people play it, and if you're just watching, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, do literally anything but this.
Right, of course. I don't know.
I don't want to offend the Sims fans.
Yeah, don't do that. They will literally they will take this down. Once they finish their life on Sims.
Sim City is cool, because in your regular life, you don't get to build a city. You know, so you're doing something in the video game you can't do in real life.
Right. Why can't you?
Okay. Some people can, Tim. You know, if you go back to the 1800s and really nip that in the bud, just there get ahead of the curve or build some cities. But, you know, I think most of that's happened, you know, to get to the moon or maybe the sea floor.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. This innovator right here.
Should buy some land and build like a shanty town or something.
Should buy some land in the Marianas Trench, you know? That's going to skyrocket.
There it is. There's
your stock tip for the day.
One day.
What's new with you, Liam?
What? Me?
You. Yeah, no. You. You're the interesting one.
Am I?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. So.
I know it.
All right, so I'm going to bring back Leander's Dating Corner. All right, so it's been pretty lonely, but now
it's an empty corner.
It's an empty corner with one chair facing the wall.
Like the dunce cap. It's like a sad Norman Rockwell
painting. Saddest corner ever. All right, no. All right. The corner's been so lonely for so long. There's been cobwebs. So now I'm dating someone. I'm dating someone. Mm. And I'm realizing I am horrible at dating. I'm the worst person to date in the entire universe.
Wow.
So I'm dating a guy that I met last year, right? And then we kind of rekindled this year and we're trying it out, whatever. Here's my thing. Instead of being on dates with this person, I'm like podcasting or I'm hanging out with my friends or whatever. And I'm getting like the messages of like, oh, how come you're not hanging out with me? I'm like, oh, well, I'm with my friends. So, like, I'll just call you later. Like, shouldn't we be hanging out? Like, isn't that what people do when they're trying to start dating? I'm like, I guess, but I'm busy. I have friends. I don't know what you want from me. So I guess that's a bad thing, apparently, because you're supposed to spend time with the person that you're trying to date, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of work.
I don't know. I've been married 5 years. I still don't get it. I don't know.
What is it? Like, do you just give up your life? Like, oh, by the way, I'm going to stop doing all the things I used to do.
You don't give up your life.
But
you prioritize things? I don't know. Like, look, sometimes if you really, like, care somewhat, uh-huh, you know, you might be like, well, maybe I don't need to play Dice Masters tonight or D&D or something. You can cut some things out or just pare it down a little bit. I don't know.
I'm just saying it's difficult because you have your own life and then someone wants to come in and like, oh.
Someone wants to come. So this is pretty much a one-way street here is what you're describing. Someone wants to come in, okay, like an intruder.
Okay.
This is Leander's sphere. I want to date somebody, but I don't want to spend any time or see them or contact them in any way.
I get it, but can't it be slower? Can't we just do this over a slower time period where, like, I keep doing what I want to do
and all the time without considering the other person? No, I'm just messing with you.
I know.
That's a conversation that you got to have.
Of course. Yeah.
Those things you got to talk about.
Yeah, those things you got to talk about. So, I don't know. You guys have the most, I don't know what you guys, your dating situations are, but in general, though, like, what do you, like, the new stuff, the new relationship, like, how do you balance what you've always done with this new person, new thing? Right? I don't know.
I would say, like,
love advice from Lane. I'm ready.
My expertise. you know, like Lou was saying, you know, you have to talk to the person you're going out with. And just from what you're describing, it sounds like you both kind of, like, want two different things. Like, you're expecting something more casual. Seems like that the other person wants something a bit more serious, a bit more sooner. So it's like you guys have to discuss what do you guys want and what kind of pacing you want.
You just talked to my soul just now. That was awesome.
Try.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, that could be another thing, too. With me being so, like, somewhat newish, it's been a while, unpolished. I guess there is learning to be done, so it all comes through communication, right? Communication is the key to success for everything, right?
Absolutely.
These platitudes really work.
Yeah.
In real life. But, I get what you're saying. You've had lots of Leander time.
I have. And I've been on, you know, and I was on vacation. I went to the cabin for 2 weeks and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, so this guy.
So,
this guy. Actually,
my work sent me to the Bahamas.
I see where you're coming from because you've been on, like, a world tour of beautiful tropical islands in remote, pristine wilderness.
But it's not my fault. I just have to do it for work. It's not like I asked for it. I just have to go to these beautiful places.
Like, anything would be a letdown after work. Jeez.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay, man, I could spend time with you, or I could just go to work.
Or I could go to the Bahamas. But you're great, too. You're great, too.
Anyways. I need Leander time.
Yeah. So anyways, Leander's dating corner has a few more pictures in the wall. It's not quite so sad and lonely anymore.
We need
anymore.
A theme song for that.
We need a theme song for that.
Well,
anyways, what about you, Tim?
I bought a house.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's a nightmare, and I have to do a lot of work on it, and I'm not looking forward to any of it, and I will be miserable for the next foreseeable 2 months, 3 months.
If you would like to help Tim move, email him at
capescalespodcast@gmail.com.
He will take all the help he can get.
Yes,
he
that's
will.
Right. I don't know what you can do, but I'm
he
willing.
He will provide pizza and beer for everyone.
Oh, every single person.
Oh, no.
And if you don't drink, he'll get you soda. He'll get you whatever you want. And if you don't like pizza, and nothing is off the menu, folks. Just email him.
Yeah.
He needs the help. He really does.
Billy Zane, I need your help. Billy Zane, please you help me move. Please.
Be great press. Billy Zane, Billy Zane helps man
helps
move.
Local man move. I think that would be great.
Great press for us.
It would be.
So the podcasting should be a little more regular once I have the house and whatnot.
And you'll be closer.
I'll be closer.
Temporarily, at least.
Well, I'll be closer to Lou.
Yeah.
So that's all that really matters.
That's true.
As you agree, and shoot me a look. But yeah, it'll be good, you know. I've been looking forward to being able to podcast at my place more. I have three kids. They're very loud. And my wife is Puerto Rican, so she's very loud as well.
Whoa, first of all, I don't know what that means.
You embrace the stereotypes.
You're a social justice warrior. You can't say that.
Hold on, where's my Facebook?
If she ever listened to these podcasts, she'd be so mad.
I'll tell her to listen to this one.
Oh, no. Yes. This isn't the one.
I love it, babe.
Aw. You're on the couch.
All right. I bought a very comfortable couch.
I didn't move the couch in yet. So it's on the floor.
It's on the floor.
I slept on the couch last night by choice. I was like, I'll just sleep on the couch. I already know
I'm in trouble. I'll just sleep
I'm on the couch. It's fine. The dog slept next to me. I'm like, whatever. So let's start it. I don't have any news. You got
no
any
news?
No news.
Whoa. What? No news. Whoa.
I think this news that you don't have news.
It is.
Because it's a big deal. You always have news.
I know.
Well, maybe, I'll just ask you about maybe stuff you might know about.
Sure.
Try to, like, you know, prompt some news out of you.
Sure. I mean, I have, like, one piece of news.
Oh, you do?
Oh, now all of a sudden you have news now.
Mission accomplished.
I have
what is that piece of
news? You got it out of me. Is my favorite character of all time, Moon Knight, is coming back.
Nice.
I had been bitching for months that Marvel had not announced that Moon Knight was coming back in a comic form.
Yeah.
And I had been tweeting rumors that he was coming back and Jeff Lemire was going to write it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, stop. You can't will it to happen. Just stop. You're pathetic. And...
Wow, jerks.
They were right until Jeff Lemire announced that he's writing Moon Knight. I was like, yes, finally.
Nice.
Validation for all the rumors I've made up.
That's great. I had to delete all those anonymous hate comments that I put on there.
Yep.
About the fact that it was never going to happen.
So I'm excited for that. That'll be somewhere, probably in January or February, that book will come back.
Awesome.
With all these new Marvel number ones that will be either awesome or terrible. I don't know. You're out of Marvel. You're out.
I'm out.
You're done.
Well, until Jubilee comes back, but yeah, I'm out for now.
Didn't they already do that? I thought Marvel redid number ones.
They've solicited them all. Their event Secret Wars is still going on. It should have ended by now.
Yeah.
Or just about by now, and they're like, they still got like three more issues.
You guys know I love Secret Wars. I'm the
you
biggest
do.
Secret Wars guy, and that's pretty much the only book I'm current on.
That's
and
so weird.
It's been like a month since the last one came out. I'm like, what is this, 2008? I need to wait a month for an issue?
It's insane. It's terrible. All their books are behind. I don't know what they're going to do.
But that's how it used to be, right? You got
one
issue a month.
And
now
added,
you got spoiled. You get spoiled because they release their big events weekly or bi-weekly or something like that. So waiting a month just seems like...
And I think they made it nine issues
now.
I think it's nine issues now when it was originally eight. Like, I don't understand that.
I wonder if Hickman's like, all right, guys, here's how it is. I need twice as much time and an extra issue. And they're like, well, you got us by the balls, dude. Could be. Do whatever you want,
I suppose. So, Elena, if you had to do a weekly issue, would you do a weekly issue? Isn't that a lot of work?
Yeah, well, I think it would depend. It depend how many pages there were, what the content was, and how much sleep I was willing to give up. So,
yeah.
Oh, and the pay. So,
good girl.
Yeah, good answer. I bet they gotta really shell it out if you're doing a weekly book. Because that seems like all you'd be able to do, right? Yeah. Like
a lot of weekly books is multiple teams. It might be three different writers, five or six different artists, which is why a lot of people don't like weeklies. Because it's like, oh man, every third issue, I really love this art, and then like I can't stand this other artist, or whatever the case may be. But it's kind of weird how they do it with different writers. I'm like, I'd rather just one person just write their complete idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. It's kind of like too many cooks in too many kitchens, and you get like this mixed up mishmash of whatever it is they concocted. But sometimes it works out, but you know, a lot of times it's like everybody's not on the same page and where the story may be going if there's like something like a weekly series going on.
That's a good point. And you've already blown my mind on the fact that it's more of a virtual world, that people are doing the work virtually. They're not just all in one building, all talking to each other as they do it.
It's not the 60s it's not what with I Jack thought. Kirby and Stan Lee, like, with a couple of cigarettes and a bottle of gin, and 48 hours to make a deadline.
I think that would be a super cool atmosphere to have.
That would be great.
But it's like, you know, it's not like that. Like, we have artists, like, in general, like, there's some that are in, like, North Jersey, some that are out in Texas, some that are in Florida, and it's just kind of, like, everybody's from all over the place, so it's just easier doing everything digitally. Like, I know for Mega Man, well, I probably shouldn't say Mega Man, because I'm not 100% sure, but I know for a lot of comic series, it's like the penciler will do everything by hand, and they scan it in, and the inker, a lot of times, they'll ink digitally, or sometimes ink by hand, but colors are pretty much 100, I'd say 95 to 100% of the time done digitally.
Interesting.
So you don't necessarily like lose some of the traditional aspect, because you know, pencilers and inkers, you know, they can work traditional, like, you know, they'll work traditionally, but colorists, I would say definitely a lot of times it's digital. If not all the time.
Right. Nice. Well, digitally has come a long way, and it definitely makes it a lot easier. And that's awesome. Nice. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, it used to be more like coloring. It was like you would have, I guess it was colored inks or it was paints. I'm not 100% sure. But it was more like paint by number, and you just kind of like put that flat color there and this flat color here. Or like it's evolved into something more like it's turned into painting, basically. And things are more three-dimensional. So yeah, it's basically, it's turned more into an art, like, you know, I'd say, you know, if you're going back to like the 1970s or even maybe more recently, colorists didn't even get credited for their work, and it wasn't till like in recent years that they have been.
Nice. Well, look what you started. You didn't even say anything.
What? I didn't say anything.
It was awesome. No, it was good. And I'm saying, you said you wanted to get something out of Tim. And then you get all that. You got all that whole segment that just happened. It's because of you, Lou.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks. Can we talk about Mario Maker?
I'm sorry, if we can talk about Mario Maker?
You're not familiar with
it. Oh, no, not again! How do you say it?
I actually say Mario. When I was younger, I used to say Mario.
Mario.
But then she wised up and grew up and realized that you properly say it, Mario.
You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, Lou.
But go ahead. Talk about Mario Maker.
Mario Maker. All right, let's do it.
Sure. Maker. I don't have it. Does anyone have it?
No.
No.
No, I do not.
Well, it looks cool.
Good segment.
I mean, I want it. You get to make your own Mario levels. Mario, fuck. Forget it. Moving on.
It felt good, didn't it?
Yeah. Was it liberating for you to say it the right way?
I'm being social justice bullied.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
No, that game does look good. I will absolutely buy it at some point. My son wants it, so.
There you go. You get to play everything through your son.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Some of
I
got
to go bond with the kids. Well, we're going to go play Nintendo.
Back to GameStop.
Go on, kids. My favorite was my kids got stuck in New Super Mario Brothers, and I'm like, well, let me play. And I got through, like, they're like, how do you know? I'm like, this has been the same game for over 20 years.
Got a lot
now.
To learn, kids.
How did you know that was hidden there? Of course it's hidden there.
Of course it is. It always is. It's always
you'll understand there. When you're older.
Yeah, it'll still be happening. Yeah. Don't worry.
Isn't it the charm of Mario, though? Like, it hasn't, like, they don't really change up the game mechanics too much. Like, they, you know, they don't try and get too gimmicky with it. So, you know, you can just jump into it, like, 20 years later, and it's pretty much like playing old school stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very little has changed. I think. Well, I mean, it has changed, but...
But I think feel. With the with the maker...
Luigi
on the new system.
We can all say Luigi.
That's kind of like the thinking out of the box. They're like, all right, we're going to make another one of these games, or we're going to like go a different direction with it and just let the people make the games. And this is going to be huge. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of press on it, a lot of articles about...
And you can post your levels online and people
can
play them.
Yeah, brilliant. Sure. That's brilliant. Great. That's like exactly what Nintendo needed to do and just be like, you know what, here, let's leave it up to you guys.
I mean, it's good they did that with the franchise. I mean... My immediate feeling about it, though, when I saw it at first, was like, oh, this is just Little Big Planet, but just for Mario. So that was I was a little disappointed that I was like, oh, Mario should have done
gotcha.
This.
Got it.
They should have done this earlier, you know? It was like, they're a little behind the times to a certain extent. It's almost like they're like, oh, what do? Let's copy someone else's idea that they've already started, which is, to me, Little Big Planet. I'm not saying this game is like that, but this is just what I'm thinking.
He's hating on the game.
Though. I'm the Debbie Downer of the group, sorry.
Level editors were always cool, though. I remember hanging out with my cousin making Doom levels in, like, Doom. 19, I don't know, I'm not going to say.
You already said 19.
Yeah.
96,
97? 99!
But it was Doom 1, I will say that. They had a level editor for it. It came on, like, 95 floppy disks, and, you know... Many a night spent, you know, trying to play the other guy. You just fill a room with dudes and give them the BFG and let them go crazy. And then, so that was fun. I always liked level editors. I always thought they were super cool. So
awesome.
That's my...
Should we jump into some comics?
Sure, if you'd like.
Right. Yeah,
you got not? Three, I got two. Well, why don't you start?
Me?
Whoever.
No, I don't have any.
Oh.
I didn't read any of
those. That's
books.
Imaginary. Everyone, those three
I
books
mean,
over
I have
there
some
don't exist.
Great books over here. And
once they're read.
I'll tell you what I have.
There you go. That's something.
These are things you may hear about later.
You may want to read this at some point in your life.
I have The Dead and the Dying, issue 3, which came out, because I hadn't gotten one of these in months. So I did The Dying and the Dead. The Dying and the Dead. Mm-hmm. I didn't start it. I didn't think it was actually going to come out, because I had issues 1 and 2.
Yeah, what was it, like months?
It was months. Like I was 5 months? Oh, he must have just dropped
Hickman.
It. Because he's doing Secret Wars.
Right,
so he's going to drop that. I have another Hickman. I got East of West 20, and that was kind of a while, too. But I've been looking forward to that.
That book's great.
Jupiter Circle. I don't know why this is still coming out. I just don't care. I just don't. Number 6. I thought that was done. I thought it was done. I don't care about that. And I have Mega Man, number 53.
Whoa.
Which I'm gonna get signed later.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think we know the colorist.
Yes,
you might, possibly.
But I didn't bring a Sharpie, so.
No.
We'll find one.
There's one. We'll take care of it.
We'll take care of it.
All right, well, that's what's in the pile, but I didn't read them, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
I got two. Leander, you start.
What? All right, fine. Yeah,
it works better that way.
So, I have Death Vigil number 8. These are, you know, I'm consistent with my reviews. I don't really add too many new
Nobody
content.
Reads these books because you just review every issue.
I do. They're like, oh, I should read it, but I already know it. Death Vigil, potentially the last last issue, number 8. The cover is amazing. I actually have a, what's it called?
Lithograph.
Yeah, I have that. So I have the lithograph of the cover of this, and it's amazing. And one day I want to meet Steven Sajic and have him sign it, because I love his work. I love everything he does. This is one of the few times where, like, I actually follow someone, you know? You know, when I first started this podcast, I knew no names of any person, and I could care less. I was very anti-names. Like, I don't care who you are, I just want my book, and let me read it. I don't care what you do. Now, through the podcast, I'm all about the names, I want to see who's doing what, I want to follow them and see where they're going.
He's come so far.
I know. So anyways, this Death Vigil last issue, potentially, it's all about the Death Vigil team coming together, fighting the last big monster, epic monster. Relationships are mended as they're supposed to be towards the last issue. Epic boss battle, that happens. But then there's like twists and turns at the end to make you think, oh, it's definitely coming back at some point. You know, just enough, like, to make you feel like, no, it's not over yet. It's going to happen. They're going to come back one day. But it's a great book. And Death Vigil, for those of you who have never heard about it, so the concept is that when you die, there is a Veil Reaper, death that holds a death scythe, right? She determines whether or not you get to live or die. And if she takes you and you live through that dying process, you become one of the Death Vigils. And your hair turns white. That's how you know that you're one of them. People can still see you and they know who you are. But your hair is completely white. And you have now these special, what's called Veil Rippers. And they're all individualized weapons. And so you might get like a feather. And you got to figure out what that means for you. You might get a little... a pitchfork. It could be anything. It could be a whole host of things. Anyways, the idea is that you team up with someone and the two of you become this combo. So, for instance, there's this one team where the guy, he's this older man, older American man, he can see through anything, right? As far distance as possible. That's his only ability. And then he's teamed up with this Asian girl who only speaks Japanese, and somehow they kind of figure out their relationship. And she can shoot through anything. So them combo together... He can see, she can shoot, and then it becomes this perfect combo. So anyways, all the things happen, everything wraps up. The art on here is amazing as usual. Steven does a great job with both the writing and the art and everything else. So Death Vigil number 8, check it out.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That sounds cool.
My first book is the last issue of Planet Hulk, Planet Hulk number 5. This is the one where Captain America is pretty much Conan the Barbarian, and he's running around with Devil Dinosaur, and they're fighting Hulks. This, and I thought that was enough for me. I thought that would be good, and this book was garbage. I hated this book so much. I was so angry with how it ended. And it was terrible. I will absolutely spoil this, so, you know.
Spoiler alert.
Know that I'm going to spoil it. There's a Hulk called Doc Green that is helping Devil Dinosaur and Captain America along on their journey to find the Mad King, which is the Red Hulk. Once he defeats him, he can save Bucky. The whole thing is Doom sent Bucky to go fight him, and Bucky never came back, and he said, he's got him, go get him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets there. The Red Hulk has Bucky's arm. He's like, oh, he's been dead. Doom knows that. And so he ends up defeating the Red Hulk, and Doc Green reveals, hey, I'm actually Steve Rogers from another universe, and I'm a Hulk, and it's awful.
Sure.
It's complete garbage.
Right. Yeah,
it was. It's an interesting enough idea, but it's just
it just didn't
awful.
Come together, right?
No, and like they show where their paths change, and like where
he becomes the Hulk, and
he's like, okay, this failed. Like on a mission, Bucky gets killed. So then he does the gamma experiments to become the Hulk. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, the character was terrible. There was no big, like you didn't get behind him at all. You clearly knew he was evil.
Yeah.
And at some point, he's going to do something terrible.
Right.
The reveal of him being Steve Rogers was kind of dumb. Like, yeah. I'd rather him be, like, evil Bucky or evil, like, anything. But, like, this was garbage.
That's unfortunate.
The art's fine.
Yeah.
But,
that's something.
Don't read this.
Sorry to hear.
Yikes.
Planet Hulk number 5 didn't make the cut.
Hulks.
And issue 1 I loved. So go figure.
Yeah. Sounds like the Hulks are like Yoshis. There's just like a bunch of different.
There's a million
ones.
Of them. There is million. A bunch of. Yeah, it's awful. I'd rather it be Planet Yoshi. Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to buy it.
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What ain't me?
Are you reading it real quick?
No. I've read it. I'm just skimming again to make sure. Rat Queens number 12. Rat Queens has yet to fail in delivering good stuff, and it continues to do such things. I laughed. I cried. I didn't cry, but I laughed a lot. Good action. They introduce more characters. You're starting to understand more about all the ladies' past. There's a little... smidgen that's coming in to kill Betty, you know. So Betty's kind of been like the funny haha character the entire time, and now you find out she used to be part of Assassin's Guild and blah blah blah. So it's really cool to kind of see some elements come in from their past to kind of affect the party. And Betty, one of her favorite, my favorite moments with Betty is that they're in this mountain pass and they're not going to make it, and everyone's freaking out, and she thinks she sees a dragon, and everyone's like, "Did you see the?" And then she stops, and then she looks at her mushroom and she eats the mushroom. like, nah, it couldn't have been what I thought it was. So she's, like, always doped up on something, normally mushrooms. So this one time when she actually did see something, she's just like, nah, I'm probably just doped up and I don't even know what's going on. You find out more about Dee and Dee's past, and Dee is, like, I don't know if she's, like, some sort of goddess. You don't really know, but dark goddess for sure. She's just embracing her powers a little bit more. She's been very much afraid of them for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And Hannah is really the core of this story arc right now. Hannah's trying to go back home to her elven... actually, not even home. She's going back to college, basically. Her, like, wizard college place. And Hannah is just hilarious. She's that chick who's, like, doesn't care. She's a badass. She does what she wants. She doesn't care. She makes fun about death. And, you know, she's just that really cool character like that. You find out something super deep about her. And it actually affects the entire party. And it ends up that most of the girls, if you looked at the issue and read it all the way through, you would think they pretty much were probably all going to die. Because it ends with everyone kind of falling into the snow after getting beat the heck up pretty badly from what happened in Hannah's past coming to the present.
Did you like the art change? Because I've heard people complaining about it.
I'm okay with it. It's still okay. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things where, unless they really did a bad job with the art, the story's so good that the art, I can excuse the art for the story, you know, because I am really picky about art.
It is hard to go from Sajic to
his
style is so detailed and
it's very different. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it because the story is still solid.
Yeah, some people in the store were complaining, and I'm like, it's not that bad. Yeah. I didn't see what they were complaining about.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a big difference.
It's from a big the difference other style, for sure. Right.
But I didn't think it was bad.
No, it's doable. So Rat Queens number 12, continue to pick it up, please. Put it in your bin, read it. It'll make the best part about Rat Queens is it'll make you laugh every single time. So there's always something funny that's going to happen.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I always try to review something that's not Marvel or DC. And because of our guest, I chose Archie. Yes.
Yay.
This is a couple weeks old, but I wanted to read this, and I actually have brought it probably to two podcasts now and just didn't get a chance to review it. And I love Mark Waid. Mark Waid is like why I read comics today. And it's got the Fiona Staples art from Saga. This book was great. And Mark Waid writing this classic, because Archie has I guess the stereotype of it's an older book. Mm-hmm. It's from a long time ago. They've updated it perfectly. It appeals to everyone.
Yeah, Archie be looking like Justin Bieber on there.
Yes, he looks like
Justin Bieber. That's funny.
They've updated it where Archie had been with Betty. You don't know why they've broken up, but they have. And everybody's freaking out, and it's like the big gossip, and everybody's trying to get them to come back together. And Jughead, his best friend, is kind of like, maybe we should just give them some time apart, and it's got this whole emotional roller coaster, this big plan to get them to come back together, and I won't tell you whether it succeeds or not, but the setup was great. I didn't know what to expect, because Mark Waid can write anything, as far as I'm convinced, but this is, you know, this isn't superheroes punching each other. This is, you know, something I feel everybody can relate to. And I really enjoyed the book. And Fiona Staples is great. You just can't go wrong with her.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I actually was given sample pages to try out to be the colorist for that. Obviously, I didn't get picked, but it was really fun coloring the pages, though, because I kind of got, like, a sneak peek before everybody else did. And I was like, oh, Fiona Staples, she's amazing.
She awesome. Is. She's so good.
She had... She actually had a vision herself of what the color should look like. That she actually, like, I got a PDF file with her stating specifically what she wanted. So it's cool to know that she herself as the penciler had something in mind of what she wanted with the colors.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, from what I've seen, like, I've seen images online of the finished work. And, you know, it definitely, if they're going to reboot Archie, like, they're doing a pretty good job right now.
Yeah, I just feel bad for whoever follows Waid if Waid doesn't keep on the book.
Sure,
I would not want to.
Yeah, I can't
Waid.
See him really staying.
I mean, he does a lot. Mm-hmm. He does a lot. Yeah. I know he's got books coming out for Marvel soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got their main Avengers book.
Right. Right.
But yeah. I mean, he's awesome. Hickman writes 70,000 books a month. You know, sure. Usually they come out on time.
Yeah.
So
right. You're right.
Yeah. At least we're starting off strong with Archie number
one. Yeah, it was awesome. Great. I have issue two somewhere in my pile of comics, so mm-hmm. I can review that soon as well. But yeah, I've really liked it. And it's sold out at our store like 3 times. So there's something there, people. Make sure you read Archie.
Nice.
That's it. What you got?
Last one. All right. Midnighter number 4 from Russia with Grayson. So as soon as I saw Grayson, I was like, oh no, Grayson's going to mess this up. Because the book Grayson, unfortunately, took a dive and it's horrible. I was reading Grayson for a long time. And it just got too preteen, unfortunately. Like, there was an issue where
The Manti Ray.
We haven't forgotten it.
You can never forget the Manti Ray.
Or something.
Yeah. Like, the villains were basically a bunch of, like, college girls trying to get his undergarments. Like, it was just so weird. I'm like, what's going on here, Grayson? So anyways, I was worried when I saw Grayson on the cover of Midnighter, one of my good books. And it's not as good as all the other issues, unfortunately. Uh-oh. Grayson did bring it down a little bit, unfortunately. Because they tried to tie it too much to Grayson's book
sure.
and make it all intermixed, and it just didn't quite work out as well.
Plus, like, Midnighter is, like, super violent, right?
Yeah.
And Grayson's probably not.
Not at all. Yeah. No.
So, I could see how that wouldn't really mesh.
No. So, the idea is that Midnighter kind of teleported in and grabbed Grayson out of this dangerous situation and brought him along for this mission. And he brought Grayson along the mission for specific reasons because Grayson has specific skill sets that he needed help with. Midnighter continues to be super violent, super, like, whatever he wants to do, he's going to do it. And there's a slightly emotional part of this because the idea is that there's like a corporation that is run by kind of a vampire-esque type person. And what he does is that he goes in and he bites the person and turns them into some sort of vampire type thing, right? Then he charges super rich kids and CEOs and everything to come in and stake the vampires. So the idea is that you feel like a superhero because you're killing these vampires, but really you're just killing innocent people. Like, homeless guy off the street, he'll just bring him and bite him and turn him into a vampire and starve him for like weeks and weeks and weeks and then pay these rich people to come in. It's like hunting in Africa, right? It's that same kind of feeling. And so the idea is like they come in and do that. And so Midnighter is trying to stop that whole operation. And you know, read it for yourself to see what happens, but it's good. It's gory to Midnighter's style. It's just that Grayson, as much as they tried to throw in a big name character, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's like when the Punisher teams up with someone. It's like, nah.
Right, it just doesn't quite work.
Just let him do his thing.
Just let him do his thing. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hit it perfectly.
Well, I mean, I guess because they brought Midnighter back in Grayson, they wanted to keep that going.
Sure,
but
right. Hopefully
what character would you rather have had them use? Is there a character you're like, why didn't they just use so-and-so?
No, Harley Quinn. That would have been awesome. Yeah. Harley Quinn and Midnighter actually would make a good team for a little bit.
She's, like, not at all serious.
Yeah, she's not.
Super serious.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, he's not that serious at all, either.
Well, yeah, because he just does
whatever he needs to get done. He just kills whatever he needs to kill to get the job done. Yeah, I could see that happening more than Grayson. I know why they did it, though, and I don't want to say it, but ultimately they did it because Grayson's a good-looking kind of younger guy, and they threw him in here because Midnighter is a gory, super crazy vigilante, but he also happens to be openly gay. So I think they're trying to throw some men in there, you know, and I don't like that because it's not necessary. It's unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't like that. But it is what it is.
Word.
All right, well, that's our reviews.
There it is. So that's it. Thank you for listening. Elena, would you like to plug some stuff? Do the plug fest?
Well, I think I did a lot of plugging in the interview, but I'll plug again. Okay.
There it is.
There you go.
All right, if you want to see any of my artwork, mainly portraiture, you can go to www.studioelenaunger.com. You can also check out my art at Facebook, Elena Unger Art. You could check out my updates. And when I say updates, I mean like once every couple months on Twitter. That'd be at Elena Unger. And you can check out my art at DeviantArt, Elena Unger. So, and also if you want to buy any artwork with my licensed characters on it, Putiko, you can go to checkadvantage.com and type in Elena Unger and you'll see cute little Hello Kitty inspired characters. And any graphic novels that have been recently released by Archie involving Mega Man, especially the Worlds Unite and Worlds Collide series, definitely, you know, check those out and support your Archie artist.
There you go.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thanks. And thank you for having me.
And I told, I know we talked about Superliminal Films, but I told him we'd give them another extra special plug because they're gonna plug my book. So I'll just say again, check out.
Why don't you plug your book?
Huh?
You should plug your book.
No,
too.
I'll do that too. Okay. But I gotta.
Don't worry, he's gonna plug.
He's
his
gonna
own
plug
stuff.
His book. Right?
Oh my god, you guys act like I'm such a plug guy. I got to take care of my commitments first. So check out Poor Man's Process, the superliminalfilms.com podcast with all our great friends. And they gave us our own little theme song.
That's amazing.
I just heard that. It's
That's
really
amazing.
Great.
Nice.
Good work on the song, guys. It's awesome.
Happy birthday, Max. It's
Happy
not belated.
Birthday.
It might be belated by the time we put this up, but it's not.
Yes, it's definitely on your birthday. You definitely said that on your,
on
birthday.
Your birthday.
Yep.
Yes. So, yeah. Oh, and if you want to check out, I wrote a book. It's called Songs of the North Wind. It's on Amazon.com. It's an ebook. I'm not trying to cut down any trees. So go on Amazon.com or anywhere you get ebooks. You can get it on your Kindle or your iBooks or however you get ebooks. Yeah, check it out.
What's it called again?
Songs of the North Wind. It's a collection of short stories. So it's not going to take a lot of your time either, you know?
I think Leander and I should do. We should read it and then review it without Lou being here.
No,
I think
yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, or I could just That's be true. Here.
No.
And pretend I'm not here, so that you don't say anything
Sorry.
Messed up.
No, no. Nowhere near
that.
As much fun.
You're gonna make me go hang out in the other room with Schuster while you review my book.
Only if it's bad.
Oh, that's fair. I can dig it.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, yeah. And. We'll see you soon.
We love you, miss you.